So as Fred said, my name is Inja Coates, and I am the co-founder and director of Media Tank, which is a nonprofit media education and organizing group in Philadelphia. And I guess I'm not totally sure what to say by way of introduction, but I guess, you know, I think, well, I guess I can just tell you a little bit about how I personally got to this point, and I think it sort of reflects a process sort of more largely about what we're where we are sort of as a whole community. I got involved in this work as an independent video producer, and then in my town, probably a lot of you know, we've been fighting a long-term battle with the city and Comcast to get the Philadelphia public access system set up. And that really ended up being sort of my crash course in local government and cable policy. And that fight is still going on. We've been making some great headway in the last recent months. We're really hopeful that we'll get final commitments to make that happen this year. I was also a co-founder of the Independent Media Center in Philadelphia right before the Republican convention in 2000. And, you know, really that came from both a recognition, you know, politically, but also just sort of like understanding the power of the community media tools that we had and sort of the points that Fred was saying about what was possible with a lot of the new technologies that were starting to be widely used at that point. And Media Tank really grew out of that with a recognition that, one, we really needed to broaden our allies in this work, and that media is an issue that affects everyone, whether they know it or not. And so we sort of set out with that mandate to really build a constituency for this work, and then also a recognition that policy is a very important place to engage if you want to make change. So whether you're talking about corporate policy or governmental policy, that is one of the main leverage points in terms of trying to really get at the roots of making things better. So Media Tank is now in its fifth year, and we do, our programs are focused on media education. We do media literacy trainings and public events on all kinds of different issues related to the media. We also have been involved in cable organizing. We have a grassroots cable campaign that some of you may be familiar with, and we're preparing to expand that this year to a statewide level to really address the issues of state legislation, both on the state franchising, and we've had a lot of battles also in Philadelphia around the community wireless, and that's a battle that's also being fought at the state level. And then sort of building off of that sort of accountability model is we've started a local monitoring project this year, and we're trying to figure out all the way that these different initiatives tie together, and working with people all around the country to share knowledge and strategies and try to make some headway on these battles that Fred mentioned. So with that, I'll turn it over to you.
Hi, good morning. Up to April 15, I was director of the Youth Channel at the Manhattan Neighborhood Network. And from April 17, I started working as program officer of the Media Justice Fund at the funding exchange. So I got a different hat. As Inja said, I personally have some various experience in media. Started as a community activist and using media as a tool to bring out issues on Korea reunification and labor movement, etc. And then I became a producer and then became administrator, and so worked in media arts and media public access and now a funding exchange. So just the, but through all this this experience, I always felt, you know, yes, I'm creating content and I'm doing something, but just something always kind of being reactive, or just it really didn't make an impact that I wanted to have. So always something about system, changing the system always stayed in my mind and in my head. And my mind is not here. So, right. So just briefly, Media Justice Fund is an initiative of the Funding Exchange. I don't know how many of you know the Funding Exchange. It started in 1979, and it's a network of 16 local progressive foundations and the national office. And FACTS, the Funding Exchange, grants thousands of social change grassroots organizations per year. And Funding Exchange has a program, a Paul Robeson Fund. I think a lot of people may apply and got rejected. Yes, I see some hands. So Paul Robeson Fund provides grants for the content. And Media Justice Fund is more supporting leadership of people who have traditionally marginalized, like people of color community, LGBTQI youth and women. So for them to organize around the media to affect accountability, community control, infrastructure, and policy. Media justice has been a buzzword in recent years, and I hope it's not just a one-time funding trend. My job has to be sustained. So Media Justice Fund does not mean just the media reform. We are talking about, it goes beyond the demands to be included in the existing system, but actually, you know, changing the system. And media justice activists recognize that notions of a fair and just media redistribution and control of resources are linked to justice and equality in the U.S. So like the fight against the homelessness or push for fair wages and economic equity, the media justice movement is a social justice movement. So historically, groups who have been working on media policy have been based in D.C., Beltway, and they have had access to decision makers and funding. And the Media Justice Fund strategically moves resources to smaller and grassroots organizations who conceive of and fight for a media that serves a larger social justice vision. So the fund brings together social justice organizations, donors, and funders who wish to support the media and telecommunications field. Media Justice Fund was initiated, they said officially 3 years ago and unofficially 4 years ago. And it created three funding areas. The first one is a community media collaboration. Second is the toolkits, and third is immediate response fund. And I have some materials from Media Justice Fund, so you can get more information after the session. And I think the reason that three areas were created is a kind of very strategic and intentional. There is a need to collaborate within and outside the field and share knowledge of how to, in a user-friendly way, so that everyone can understand and take an action. For the past 3 years, the Media Justice granted had two funding cycles and provided $175,000 to 36 organizations. And some of the grantees are already also listed in the booklet. And this year, what Media Justice Fund is doing is, there, as I said, there are 16 local foundations who is like a network member of a funding exchange. And we are doing re-granting through 16 local funds. And the brochure has the list of the 16 local funds. So the whole thing is that how can we broaden the media justice movement throughout the country. So, and then we are encouraging the funders and community organizations to organize a kind of a town hall meeting or community meetings around the media justice and social justice. And then also, we are encouraging groups to, there is an emergency response fund, and if you, you know, a lot of PEG centers are organizing community hearings and mobilizing your own community. So we provide like an emergency grant. So if there is any specific need, that is a one category that you can apply to. So I think you know, just we are trying to kind of find a way that how well informed and well connected the leaders we can also how we can broad the media justice movement.
Is that working? I'm Barbara Popovich. I'm with Chicago Access Network Television. Just to touch base for folks who came in late, Fred mentioned earlier. What we're doing right now is just a quick round of introductions. We're going to go into breakout groups. We're going to do some hands-on practical work today because of the challenges we're all facing around the country at federal, state, and probably coming more local challenges. So I just wanted to, I am with Chicago Access Network Television in Chicago. Anybody see the Italy-Germany World Cup game the other day? So here's Germany, you know, favored to win, hometown advantage, lots of strength, Berlin, the streets were full of people, and along comes Italy. Not even the greatest team they ever had, feisty, wins, and what you learn from that is you do what you got to do to win, like fake injuries or, you know, use your hands. I mean, this is what we've got to learn to do, right? Be expressive, passionate, get up, do it. Nobody thought Italy would win. So another story that I wanted to share with you is that recently on a May Day in Chicago, I rode into work, and there was this phenomenal energy in town because it was the day of the big immigration march. There were two. This was the larger one. So all of our facility was abuzz. The employees were already in, working fast so they could get out and go to this noon march. So I got sunk into work and sort of wasn't paying attention and remembered I had a noon meeting across town. So I left, started walking, and I saw across the bridge on Jackson just a wall of people. And I went, right, the march. So I started walking in the opposite direction from the march, and I followed it four or five blocks. As far as I could see in either direction, it was solid people. There was incredible energy. I mean, this was big, bigger than anything I had ever seen. So I had to get to my meeting. So I went ahead and I spent 2 hours in my meeting. And I said, you know, the rally's probably going on. I probably missed the march. And I retraced my steps, got back to Jackson, and a sea of people were still coming over the bridge 2 solid hours later. People were coming just to get to the march. This was one of the biggest things that had happened in Chicago in a long time. And the thing that occurred to me is, at our Access Center, if we're not programming around this issue, if we're not in the community, and this was a predominantly Latino group, participate, well, wide diversity of people, but predominantly Latino, then we're missing it. And that we really need to be out there tying our community media practice into the issues in our community. And when you do that, and you do that successfully, you build the kind of foundation that translates into political strength. And I think some of the things we're going to talk about today in our breakouts is how do you develop the strategies to protect this, you know, precious resource that we all care about so much, so we can continue to do the good work. You know, we're positioned to have these long-term relationships in the community if we survive. We can scratch the surface of issues. We can go deeper into them. We can help convene groups. We can help interpret. I mean, there's just a tremendous amount of potential in the work that we do to make a difference in the understanding of complex issues like what's going on in immigration. So I really want to encourage you with that thought around our own community media practices as the most fundamental thing we have to commit to improving, and then how do we translate that into political action? And that's my goal in this session today.